You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, for years, the kids were convinced something was going on in that house. They had no idea the adults already knew.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you for listening. We really do appreciate it. You know, we really love to hear your ghost stories. So if you have one, you can call it in. Call 855-853-4802. You can write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Heck, if you just have a short little one, you can put that on comment on YouTube or one of our social media pages. Do that. That's fine, too. And if you would like to be a premium subscriber, get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon is here today.
Okay, so I've got to tell you that I have two books that I don't know that I would recommend to just anybody, but to our crowd, I think I would.
Okay.
Okay. And I listen to a lot of books when I paint and when I'm doing art and I'm getting ready for a show for Halloween. It's a kind of a creepy haunted show. And so I have been listening to a lot of books, and it seems like I'm leaning toward creepy kinds of books, or at least paranormal, spiritual, you know, that. And I think part of it's because of the work I'm painting. And I can't show, I have told myself nobody gets to see any of the work until the show. Once the show goes up, I'll like do a video of it or something and post it online.
I know, including me.
Well, you're coming. So anyway, but the first one that I just listened to this last week was called Everything Was Beautiful and Nothing Hurt by Ben Reeves. And it's about the personification of death. And he is just, you know, comes off as a regular person. And, but when needed, when people realize he's death, and by when needed, I mean like when somebody realizes they're dying, then they see him as who he is. And he might have been visiting these people off and on for years or whatever, but he knows everything about everybody because he's death. And, you know, you would think...
Because he's death, D-E-A-T-H, not deaf.
Death. Death. Okay. You know, he can walk down the street and everybody thinks he's just a regular guy, but when somebody's dying, he's there to help him transition. And so it's a lot of little stories built into a bigger overall story. And I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it is kind of fascinating. And he kind of goes through how a lot of different people deal with death, questions they ask, this and that. It was interesting. So like I said, I don't know I would recommend that book to everyone. Like my daughter said, let me know what you think if I should read it. And I'm going to tell her, no, I don't think you should. But I think our group would like it. So okay. I've thrown that one out. And then what's interesting was I was listening to a podcast about, you know, paranormal activity, psychics is what it was. And there, it was a whole, you know, it's numerous episodes about psychics and what that means and the discussion of people at R. And they had a, they talked with a man who had, a lot of people have near-death experiences and then they really seem to become psychic after that. Like they have these, you know, visions and powers and abilities that they did not have before. And so they, so they've got some researchers that were looking into it because there was a particular a doctor who does neurology. I'm coming up with neurological doctor, which seems weird. Anyway, and it happened to him. Like he said, I was totally not spiritual.
Right. That
until
that's
this
a really,
event happened to me.
That's a really common occurrence when someone has a near-death experience.
And so he said, I'm a science guy. And yet this completely changed how I felt about things. So he developed this group to study this. And then it kind of evolved into studying psychics, psychic mediums, and they particularly talked to this one woman and kind of what she hears and how it translates and this and that. So they put these people that say they're psychic through a battery of tests, very different tests, and very few people have ever passed it, but she happens to be one of them that did. So I was just listening to that story about her. And then I downloaded a book. I didn't realize it was her that wrote this book until I started listening to it. And I'm like, oh my God, that's that woman I just listened to all that podcasting about. And the book is called Signs, The Secret Language of the Universe by Laura Lynn Jackson. I'm only about a third of the way into it, but it's picking up. And apparently it kind of starts to talk about how we all can recognize signs that come to us from our loved ones that have passed on. It, she, you know, she talks about things like it could be the penny business that you and I discuss sometimes. It could be, you know, this or that. Anyway, she's got some really powerful stories that she's telling about clients she's worked with, people that she's worked with at different times. And apparently the last few chapters are the ones I'm most excited about because it really specifically talks about how we as just kind of lay people can start tapping into that.
Well, that's
so I will let you know.
Okay.
I'll let you know. So there's my book reviews for the week. I know I throw them out every so often, but two that I thought our crowd, you know, gang would like.
Right up our alley.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go to a ghost story.
Well, I wanted to talk about growing up in a haunted house down in Georgia, a small town. My brother and I were probably about around the ages of 8 and 10 when we moved into this home. It was a big home that set up kind of like on a hill. It was like about 3 bedrooms, which were all situated on one side of the home, and then on the, which was the right side, and on the left side, you had the living room, bathroom, and dining room area, and the farm back, the kitchen. It was a one-level home, but it was an older house. I talked to my brother last week. I gave him a call, and I told him about calling into the radio show, and telling him about the home in Maryland. I live in Maryland. My brother is mom all still live in Georgia, but anyway, I asked him, I said, you remember that house we used to live in? I said, you remember how it was scary as hell, right? He was like, yeah. My mother told me, when I talked to her last week, she said she didn't believe at first the things that we were saying that we saw, and at the age that we were, we didn't know anything about ghosts. At that young age, we just knew that we saw something. We saw a person, or we saw a man, or we heard noise. We never said ghosts. So growing up in this house, it was surrounded on two sides by wooded areas. In the rear was a tree line, a fenced area with homes behind that. The home never, it only had light on the front porch. The rest of the home around it was at night. It was really dark. There was a big tree that was right in front that always, every time there was a real, real bad storm, it would get struck by lightning. I remember crying as a kid, saying, "Mom, please, we got to get out of this house. Please take us somewhere or just move to another house." It was so scary, sleeping in bed with my brother and him waking up and saying, "Hey, Jay, look," and both of us sitting up and down at the bottom, at least the foot area of the bed, there was a chair near the wall, and there was this lady sitting in the chair, and she was completely white, and we were both sitting there looking at her, and she was like, I guess it was like she'd spill something, like a person would have spilled something, and they had a mop, and instead of them standing, she was sitting, and she was pushing the mop back and forth, and you can hear the swishing sound of the mop. It was really frightening. She never looked up at us. All I remember is just laying back down and pulling the covers over my head, and that was it. Well, that was one experience. The other experience was we shared a room with my uncle, and his bed was across from ours next to the window. And one of our relatives had passed, and his wife gave my uncle his vehicle. And the car didn't run, but my uncle had it sitting in the backyard, and sometimes we'd be sitting in the house, and we have the windows open in the summer, and it was completely dark outside, and somebody said, "Hey, look, the lights are on the car." The car's been sitting there, never ran for as long as I can remember, but the lights would be on, the rear lights would be on this car, like as though someone had gotten the car and they were holding the brakes down. There was an experience where we would come home, my brother and I, from school, be there by ourselves, and we'd be in the back. The kitchen was all the way in the back of the house. And one afternoon, we heard someone walk up on the front porch. The porch was made of wood. And we thought it was my uncle who worked for a factory. He always wore work boots because you could hear the heavy sound of someone wearing boots coming up on the porch. We heard the front door open. And then we heard someone walking through the house, and they were coming toward the kitchen. So we started calling for our uncle. We called his name a couple of times. He never answered. We kind of came out of the kitchen to appear. We walked through the bedroom. We didn't see anybody. We took off running. We tore out of that house running. We ran up the street to my aunt, who lived a couple of blocks up the street, and she came down and she walked through the house. She didn't see anybody. So, you know, we sat outside until someone came home, and it was just, you know, unbelievable. I remember sleeping, having moved to the front bedroom where my mother was. We were sleeping in the room where she was, and I remember waking one night, and next to the side of the bed where I was sleeping, there was a wall, and there was space between the bed and the wall. So when I opened my eyes and looked towards the wall, there was someone sitting next to the bed. There was a suitcase on the side of the bed. It was big enough. It was one of those older, hard suitcases. And the person was sitting. They were completely white, and they were sitting there just watching me. And during the summertime when it was hot, my mother took all the covers off the bed and the pillows. And I didn't have any covers to pull over my head, but I was up falling up in a knot and putting my arms over my head and just closed my eyes tight. It was so horrifying. I remember also going in the bathroom and taking a bath. And when I was done, I could not come out of that bathroom. I was so afraid. I just started screaming. And my aunt, who happened to be there, she came in and she was like, "What's going on?" And I just couldn't tell. I was just bawling. And I remember also experience where we were all sitting in the living room, my mother, my uncle, grandmother, my brothers. We were watching TV, and one of the rooms to the opposite side of the house with a bathroom, the room, the door, there was a door to that room, and it was always cool on that side of the house. That little room and the dining room area were on that side of the house, and it always stay cool. Never thought anything about it because, you know, with being a kid, you just knew that that side of the house was cool. My brother, if you remember that, he said, "Yeah, But we were sitting in the living room watching TV, and that door just all of a sudden it just came open as though someone opened it to walk into the living room. It stayed open for a few minutes, and then it closed back. And we were just sitting there. Nobody said anything. And we just continued watching TV. I remember also recall going to the grocery store with my mom, and she bought some ice cream, and she asked me to walk around to the house and take the ice cream home and put it in the freezer. And you know, I was a kid, and I wasn't thinking about anything. So it was dark. So I walked home to go in and put the ice cream away. And when I got to the front of the house, there were steps that went from the side of the street almost all the way up to the front porch. And as I was going up the steps, behind that tree, I saw this old woman, and she was peering from behind the tree, and I just started screaming, and I ran out in the street and almost ran in front of a car and got hit, but I was out there screaming. But my mother finally came up, and she was like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, I saw this lady, and she was looking at me, but it was just a very eerie house. It eventually burned down about 2 years ago. And one other thing, my uncle, my mother finally got a new home built. My uncle stayed there by himself. One night he came in late, and he said he went in the house, and he said there was this man in the house. And he said he was like, you know, he confronted the guy about being in the house, and they started fighting. And he said, all of a sudden, the man just said, "You haven't touched me not one time." My uncle just tore out of the house. He ran up to where we moved. It wasn't that far away, but he ran up to our home, and it was a couple of days before he even went back. But eventually, he went back, and it's very, very scary. My mother said last week, she said, "I never believed it." She said, "I knew that we were seeing things." She even admitted herself that she was seeing things. I guess she didn't want to tell us because we were kids to frighten us, but she said my grandmother and my uncle, they were all seeing and hearing things as well. And she said, she told her sister, my aunt, that, "Hey, I got to get my kids out of here because I don't like the way that they're, you know, they're being afraid of the house now, crying and standing there scared." And I'm going to just tell you, I was so happy when we moved out of that house. And I will call back with a few experiences from the new home that we eventually moved into right up the street. And thank you for listening, and have a great day.
I feel kind of bad for him, because after all of that, then he's going to call back with some stories from the new house. Like, my God.
No.
Wasn't that enough? Like, everything happened to him.
Then it makes you wonder, did they take something with them that, you know, had something attached to it? Did something attach to them and go with them to this new house? Or was this new house haunted as well?
Well, and
are they all just very sensitive people and they can sense it and other people can't? It seems like it was blatant enough. Anybody could have felt the stuff that was going on in this house. I could relate.
The thing is, though, he said the new house wasn't very far away. Mm-hmm. And by that, you know, it could have been family property. So it was still on the same plot of land, I wonder.
Sure.
Because that kind of makes sense, because they still owned the old house, because then the uncle goes to the old house on his own once they move out. Didn't last too long on his own, I don't think. But then they didn't move far away.
Yeah.
It sounded like it's walking distance. So I wonder if it has something to do with the land, because a lot of the experiences did happen outside. Like, he saw the woman, the old woman behind the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the car.
And then there was like a woman, I think it was an old woman, that was sitting in the chair pushing the mop.
Right.
Which seems like maybe a residual haunting, just doing something repetitively over and over.
Which is pretty much the definition, yeah.
But the uncle said he saw a man and actually kind of had a confrontation and took off.
And that might not have been paranormal. That might have been somebody broke into his house.
True.
But so I just have to wonder, you know, if the house they moved into is still on basically the property or nearby, is this all just some haunted land? Or maybe the land has been in his family for a while, or I don't know. I don't know. But it just makes me wonder, because that was a very haunted house.
And, it, you know, the stuff that always just makes me feel bad is, for example, when he said, you know, it was summer and my mom took the blankets off the bed, so yeah, I couldn't just hide.
I know.
And that's what was constantly, like, it would be hotter than blazes, and I would still have blankets on.
To this day, I cannot sleep without a blanket.
Exactly.
Sheets, not quite enough. I like a light blanket.
I can't just throw my arm, you know, to where it's hanging out off the bed or anything.
And he was like, she even took the pillows. He couldn't even cover his head.
And I do understand the mother and grandmother and uncle probably not saying anything to the kids, not wanting to feed it or make them even more afraid because the adults are afraid. I mean, there's nothing worse than to realize that the adults are scared too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I understand, you know, the adults in this situation is not wanting to feed into it.
Very haunted house. Very haunted house.
Yeah.
Well, here's our next story from Gretchen. It says, I grew up in rural Arkansas on several acres with woods all around us. My parents bought the place in the late 1980s when I was still pretty young. The house had been empty for a few years, and it looked like no one had done much with the land for even longer. There was an old orchard behind the house, but it wasn't much of an orchard by then. Several of the trees were dead, and the others were overgrown and didn't produce much fruit. Past that was a thick area of woods. I don't know how far they went because I never went very deep into them. That was a good idea, too.
Yeah.
We also had an equipment shed toward the back of the property. My dad kept his tools, the mower, a lot of other stuff in there. It's close to where the orchard ended and the woods began. Our nearest neighbor wasn't close enough that we could see their house. We did occasionally have hunters come through the woods, and people would sometimes pull into our driveway looking for someone else. Because of that, seeing a person outside didn't immediately seem strange. The problem was that sometimes there wasn't actually a person there. My mom was the first one to say anything about it. The kitchen sink was under a window that looked out over the side yard. Every now and then, while she was washing dishes, she would see someone walk past the window. Usually, she would only see part of them. Might be one side of someone's head. She would look outside, expecting to see my dad or one of us kids. No one would be there. At first, she thought she was seeing the shadow of a bird flying over the house. We had plenty of large birds around there, and sometimes their shadows would move across the windows. After it happened a few more times, she said it really looked like a person walking past. My dad had some strange things happen near the equipment shed. He would be working in the yard and hear the shed door open or bang shut. He would go around there expecting to find one of us messing with his tools, but the door would be closed and no one would be around. The wind could catch that door, so Dad started wrapping a chain around the handles when he wasn't using the shed. Even after he did that, he still heard it open a few times. Whenever he would check, the chain was right where he had left it. My dad wasn't someone who got worked up about little things. He would check to make sure nobody had broken into the shed, and if everything looked okay, he went back to whatever he had been doing. He didn't stand around trying to figure out whether it was a ghost. Our dog, Bo, also acted like he saw people near the orchard. He was a large mixed-breed dog, normally followed my dad around the property. Sometimes he would walk to the edge of the orchard and just stand there looking between the trees. He didn't bark or growl. Most of the time, he wagged his tail like he was looking at someone he knew. We would call him, but he might stand there for another minute or two before coming back. We could never see what had his attention. The experience I remember best happened when I was about 9. It was summer. I woke up early because the sun was coming through my bedroom window. From there, I could see the clothesline in the backyard and part of the orchard behind it. There was a woman standing at the clothesline. I couldn't see her very well because there was some early morning fog over the yard. She had her back mostly toward me and was wearing something long and light colored. Her hair looked dark. I thought she had it pulled back. She was reaching up and taking clothes off the line. So I figured it was my mom. She hung laundry outside all the time during the summer, and she was usually awake before the rest of us. I watched the woman move a little farther down the line and reach up. I couldn't really make out what she was taking down because of the fog, but I could see what she was doing. I got out of bed, went into the kitchen, and my mom was standing at the stove making breakfast. I asked her how she'd gotten back inside so fast, and she turned around and asked what I was talking about. I said, well, I just had seen her taking clothes off the line. She said she hadn't even been outside. We looked through the kitchen window. No one was there. There weren't even clothes on the line. Mom had brought everything inside the day before. She came back to my bedroom, looked out the window with me. The yard was empty. Mom said, well, it must have been the fog moving around one of the trees, but I knew that wasn't what I had seen. I didn't argue with her, though. I think she was just trying to keep me from getting scared. She didn't tell me I had made it up, and I did appreciate that. For quite a while after that, I looked at the clothesline every morning before leaving my room, and I never saw her again. My last experience on the property happened when I was 17. I'd been at a friend's house, came home later than I was supposed to. It was after 10, and almost all of the lights in our house were off. I parked beside the house, started toward the porch. When I passed the corner of the house, I looked back toward the orchard, and someone was standing near the equipment shed. That would freak me out. I don't like that. At first, I thought it was my dad waiting for me because I was late, but then I saw another person farther into the orchard. That one looked like they were bent over beside one of the trees, and then I noticed a third person that looked like a child. The moon was bright enough for me to see they were shaped like people, but I couldn't really see their faces or tell what they were wearing. They weren't all standing together. They were kind of spread out across the property, almost like each one was busy doing something. None of them seemed to be looking at me. I don't know why, but that was the part that scared me, that they didn't seem interested in the house or in me. They acted like they belonged there. I started backing toward the porch. I called for my dad. The front door opened and the porch light came on. By the time Dad came around the side of the house, I couldn't see the figures anymore. He got a flashlight, checked around the shed. Then he walked through part of the orchard and looked toward the woods. The chain was still around the shed door. He didn't find anyone. I didn't see any more figures before my parents sold the property several years later. Mom still occasionally saw someone pass the kitchen window. Bo continued staring into the orchard until he got too old to walk that far from the house. My parents never researched the property or tried to find out who had lived there before us. This was before you could type in an address into a computer and find all kinds of information. But I'm not sure they would have looked into it anyway. Most of the time, I wasn't scared of the property. I played outside, walked through the orchard, helped my dad near the shed. Whatever those people were, they never tried to hurt us. I still don't know if the woman at the clothesline was one of the people I saw in the orchard years later. I couldn't see any of them well enough to know. I just know that sometimes it felt like our family wasn't the only one using that land. I appreciate this show and all the stories. Thanks for reading this. I think that is creepy because in Arkansas, there are a lot of really wooded areas and it's densely wooded. Mm-hmm. And so I get why they have the orchard and she never really explored any farther than that, because you could get all turned around.
Oh, absolutely.
And it is kind of like that whole area has a life of its own. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I do. I completely agree. And, you know, one of the things that I felt like was interesting in this story, and I don't know if anything happened inside the house and she just didn't bring it up, but it seemed like everything she told us happened outside of the house.
Yeah, true.
In the orchard, around the shed, on the lawn, you know, the hanging clothes and stuff. It seems like something was keeping everything out of the house. That's a blessing. You know, that you weren't scared to be in your room. You weren't scared to be in the house.
And she wasn't even really scared of the orchard for the most of the time anyway.
Yeah. And even when she saw the woman, it didn't just freak her out. She was just like, huh, I guess it's mom.
But then the mom saw things walking outside too.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be afraid. I don't know what would be worse, if it's ghosts or if it's some kind of hidden mountain family that doesn't really know what it's like to live in civilization. You know, the ones you hear about.
Yeah, the ones where, you know, maybe the parents did something terrible and now they're hiding out.
Yeah, the children have never been to a proper school or homeschooled. It's
proper school.
They just stare at people because
they've been to a couple improper schools, just right. Not a proper one.
I just don't know. That would scare me more. That they're like kind of wild mountain people or something. I don't know.
I know. I'd rather have ghosts than wild mountain people.
That just would be too much for me.
No, I couldn't do that.
But then the wild mountain people wouldn't be like putting clothes on the clothesline.
Yeah, that's very strange.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm with you.
And the dog didn't seem to be like upset by him. He just seemed to
kinda
watch
liked him.
Them.
Yeah. Said he seemed happy, like his tail was wagging.
Yeah. Which is odd.
The whole thing's just a little odd. Like they were always outside. They didn't give two shits about this family. They're just going about their day.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Wow. Interesting.
I guess residual haunting, that this family's just still there going about
a whole
their business.
Residual
leaving
family,
a,
residually
living,
haunting.
Living their parallel 1860s life.
Exactly.
You know?
That was weird. So share those ghost stories with us. You can call it in 855-853-4802. Write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and become a premium subscriber if you want to. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. I just love the fall season. Crisp mornings, pumpkin spice latte, and it's the best time to cozy up and play SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 different slots in all my favorite casino-style games. And they're running a deal for all new players, a $30 coin package for just 10 bucks. So this fall, grab your favorite blanket, visit SpinQuest.com, and download the app today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.